Holy cow, the years just keep sliding by, don't they? How is it March already? But it's not too late to change your life this year. If you're still not in a job you love, stop messing around. Go to mycomputercareer.edu and take the free career evaluation today. You could start your new life as an information technology professional in as little as 4 months, even with zero IT experience. Helping people start an IT career is what we do. Many of our graduates could do little more than turn their computers on and off before they started. Attend classes on campus or live online just twice a week to get the skills and certifications you'll need to start your new career. More than just a school, My Computer Career helps you get into the industry by working with hundreds of employers that hire our students. My Computer Career is nationally accredited and financial aid is available to those who qualify, including the GI Bill. Classes start soon, so go take the free career evaluation today at mycomputercareer.edu. It's not rocket science, it's mycomputercareer.edu. The First Take Your Take podcast is presented by Capital One. This is Banking Reimagined. First Take Your Take, I'm Jason Pitts. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and you can join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Big weekend for the NBA, obviously. Big win for the NBA over the course of the weekend. The dunk contest, the skills challenge, the three-point contest, the All-Star game, they were all epic. So the question is, what was your favorite part of NBA All-Star weekend? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. That's how you get in on the fun. 888-729-3776. We want your take on the best part of NBA All-Star weekend. You can also tweet me at Jason Fitz. Get some of your thoughts in there. Now, in the meantime, there was other breaking news over the course of the weekend. I want to remind everybody of Friday. On Friday, we talked a lot about Myles Garrett because Myles Garrett had a sit down with Mina Kimes. At the time, I said, hey, wait till we've seen the entire thing. But remember, this was the quote that on Friday was taking the world by storm as Myles Garrett had his sit down moment with Mina Kimes.
What did he say to you?
I mean, he called me the N-word. He called me a stupid N-word. I don't say the N-word, whether it's, you know, with A, E-R. To me personally, just shouldn't be said. And whether it's known by family, friends, anyone. And I don't want to use it because I don't want to, you know, find that appropriate around me for anyone to use. So when he said it, you know, it kind of sparked something, but I still tried to let it go and still walk away. Once he came back, it kind of, you know, kind of reignited the situation.
Well, the situation has been reignited. I said at the time, remember, let's hear everything. Well, after hearing everything, responses started. Mason Rudolph went to Twitter, 1,000% false, bold-faced lie. I did not, have not, and would not utter a racial slur. This is a disgusting and reckless attempt to assassinate my character. Also, that's not the only response. Mason Rudolph's legal representation put out a long response, which ends with, although Mr. Rudolph had hoped to move forward, it is Mr. Garrett who has decided to utter this defamatory statement in California. He's now exposed to legal liability. So obviously this is just the tip of the iceberg. We've seen a response from Mason Rudolph, from Mason Rudolph's representation. And that's not all. We saw a tweet from Mike Tomlin. That was the tip of the iceberg. Mike Tomlin went on First Take today and sat down with Stephen A. to talk directly about the accusations being made towards Mason Rudolph.
What was your reaction to Myles Garrett's accusation against your quarterback?
The most recent one this past weekend, I took offense to it, to be quite honest with you. When it first transpired during the season, we don't have a lot of time to pause and fight battles of that nature. We said our piece. We were completely cooperative with all parties involved, the Cleveland Brown organization and the National Football League office. And then we had to move on. We had another game awaiting us, and we wanted to be singularly focused. But when these allegations returned this past weekend, I thought it was appropriate that Mason is properly defended. It was a thorough investigation done by us and the National Football League. I don't think that was represented during that piece. These accusations are serious, not only in terms of Mason Rudolph's character, but his professional pursuits. Nobody on that field as a member of the Cleveland Browns or the Pittsburgh Steelers corroborated what was said by Myles Garrett. That was founded by us and the National Football League, and at no point during that piece this weekend that was stated. Myself, personally, I was on the field immediately after that altercation and subsequently after the game. I got a lot of personal relationships within that organization over there in Cleveland. At no point did anyone within that organization come forward and say, Mike, heads up, we got a situation here or something of that nature that you would expect that comes with those type of allegations. So I fully support Mason Rudolph. We as an organization fully support Mason Rudolph. And to be quite honest with you, we were hacked off with what we saw this weekend. Not specifically from Myles Garrett. He's been in the lane that he's in, but what was displayed by ESPN in that panel, the way that the situation was presented, I don't think was fair to Mason Rudolph, and that's why I'm here today.
Well, you say it wasn't fair to Mason Rudolph. Specifically, what are you alluding to that you would classify as unfair?
It was presented as a he said situation. Even to this day, it was presented as a he said. And I think the National Football League office was very clear that they launched a thorough investigation among all parties involved, including the interviewing of people and the analysis of technology that was on that field. And they found no evidence of Miles's allegations. And I think that should be stated.
Now, obviously, when you know, you're a head coach for the Pittsburgh Steelers, this is your quarterback, so you know him obviously more intimately than Joe Public out there or even somebody on an opposing team. I'm imagining you spoke to Mason Rudolph. When you did speak to him, what exactly did he say to you?
He said what he's consistently said throughout this entire ordeal, that he did not and would not say what was said that he said. And he's been extremely consistent from day zero in that position.
You've got numerous black players on the Pittsburgh Steelers. All of them, according, obviously, did they say to you they didn't hear any such thing? Did they say to you that they didn't believe a single word that Myles Garrett was saying as it pertained to this matter?
Not only my players, but like I said, I got a lot of personal relationships inside that Cleveland Browns organization, both players and coaches. And I didn't get that information from anyone.
When you're talking about the National Football League and you say that they had a thorough investigation, how do you know that the investigation was thorough? What particulars could you point out to show or to showcase for the public out there that indeed there was a thorough investigation? The only reason I'm asking that is because we heard something along the lines that the mics were turned off or what have you.
You know, I don't know the accuracy of that statement regarding the mics. I know that I've been in the National Football League for a long time. I know when situations come up, I know the approach that they take in terms of peeling back the layers, whether it's interviews or research. I wasn't directly involved in it. Like I said, during the course of the season, we have to continually move on, and that's what it is that we do. We received word from those guys, and we took them at their word that a thorough investigation was done and no evidence was found.
How much culpability do you believe belongs on the shoulders of Mason Rudolph for the incident taking place last November 14th to begin with?
I struggle with that, to be honest with you, man. It's been a lot of negativity around Mason Rudolph. He got fined $50,000 for essentially getting beat up. You know, his reputation has been tarnished because of the allegations, none of which was founded. He was a quarterback in the losing circumstances at the end of a football game. Obviously, he was an active participant in the altercation, but a lot of the things that have gone on beyond that, I struggle with.
Highlight for the public out there, because we see Mike Tomlin. We know what an exceptional football coach you are. You're very candid when you're speaking to the media or pretty much to anybody that knows you. They would know that. If indeed one of your players had said something along the lines of what Myles Garrett accused Mason Rudolph of, how would Mike Tomlin have handled that situation? For those that don't know you.
forget me. I represent the leadership of the Pittsburgh Steelers organization. And that also was implied during that interview this weekend that somehow we suppressed evidence or were participants in some lack of thoroughness. And anybody that knows this organization, knows what it stands for, understand how the Rooney family gets down from a business standpoint, that's laughable. We would not participate in the covering up of such issues, and we would obviously do what was appropriate in terms of dealing with those circumstances.
What would you suggest happen from here? Obviously, in a perfect world, we'd forget it and we move on, but that's not the world we're living in, particularly with the advent of social media and beyond. But specifically as it pertains to the National Football League in their dealings with you, with the Pittsburgh Steelers, with the Cleveland Browns, with Myles Garrett, who had his indefinite suspension lifted. He served the final six games of the regular season, and that's it. He'll be back for next season. Is there anything at all that you think the NFL can do to sort of assuage concerns regarding this particular incident?
You know, that I don't know that ball's in their court. I know our position is we've had a desire to move on from the moment it happened. And so that's what we attempted to do. But when this interview came back up this weekend, we thought that Mason needed to be defended. And so we were placed in these circumstances. This is not something that we desire to be involved in, to be quite honest with you. We're getting ready for free agency and position ourselves for the Indianapolis Combine and trying to build a winner for 2020.
Mason Rudolph has been on the record saying he views this as a sort of character assassination. I believe I'm quoting him. Those words, those were the words that he used. Could we anticipate him exploring potentially legal actions considering the fact that Garrett has made these assertions against him? Do you anticipate that at all? And if so, would you discourage it?
You know, I'm not going to speak for Mason and his representation or try to anticipate their next move. I'd imagine their next move is based on how these things unfold moving forward. I think it's probably best that we all shut up and move on. But I had that attitude months ago and it hadn't transpired. So I would expect him to do what was appropriate in terms of protecting his name and reputation. And I would do so aggressively and I don't blame him.
With that being said, how concerned are you for his well-being? Football is a very violent sport, and I'm talking about within legal means. I mean, following the rules of the game, coach. But if you've got players out there, particularly players of African-American descent, who might find Myles Garrett truthful in his assertions or his allegations against Mason Rudolph, you never know what that could lead towards. Are you concerned at all for the well-being of your quarterback?
No, I'm not. Not as it pertains to play. I just think his reputation needs to be defended and defended aggressively.
And when you say his reputation needs to be defended and defended aggressively, what should the reputation of Mason Rudolph be according to his coach, who obviously knows him better than most? What is his reputation? What should it be?
He's a hard working, what you see is what you get guy. He's not capable of those things. But again, that perspective comes from being around him day to day. I'm not trying to sell you or your viewers. I'm just here to support him and provide a little bit of perspective that I don't think was provided in that piece this weekend.
By the way, did you agree that he should have received the $50,000 fine or that Pouncey should have been suspended for the two games he was suspended for coming to the defense of his quarterback?
I'm not getting into that, Stephen A. There's a lot with the fine schedule that I disagree with. We respect the decisions that come down from New York, and we own our actions, and we try to continue to stay focused on the things that we can control, and that's the things that lie ahead. So that'd be spilt milk crying over that and judging that. That's already come down. Guys have already had an opportunity to state their case from an appeal standpoint. Those decisions have been levied, so it serves no purpose to rehash that from my perspective.
I know that you focus on your team and pretty much that's it. That's what you do. That's what you've always been about. But in light of what Myles Garrett has said, do you have anything that you'd like to say to him directly?
I don't. And my presence here today is not an attack on Myles Garrett. It might be indirectly, but I'm here to defend Mason Rudolph and the perspective that I have surrounding the situation, whether it's the altercation itself, what transpired immediately after or the subsequent days after. My perspective is based on also conversations with Mason Rudolph and the analysis of all parties involved that I support his position.
First Take, Your Take on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Pick from a range of coverage options with the Name Your Price tool to find a price that works for you. Strong statements from Mike Tomlin as he continues to come out now and loudly defend his quarterback, Mason Rudolph. And this is just the beginning, as we'll continue to see what the next level of reaction is as everyone tries to figure out exactly how this moves forward. As much as we want it to move forward, I'm not sure it's as simple as simply pressing a button and suddenly this moves on, especially given the fact that Mason Rudolph has made it clear that he feels that this is an attack of his character, as has his legal representation. So this could all be headed to court before we even know how to react to it. And that, speaking of reaction, is part of what continued as the panel, Max and Stephen A. and Molly, reacted to Mike Tomlin's interview. Check out what they thought.
He's on as a defense attorney. He's his head coach, and a guy is making an accusation, a terrible accusation, where there's no evidence to support it other than what Myles Garrett thinks he heard. And Mike Tomlin, not only is his head coach, but by the way, an African-American head coach, is saying, wait a minute, let me do my best to protect the reputation of my player here, because he obviously truly believes that Mason Rudolph didn't say anything. And again, I've never said anything other than I think Myles Garrett believes Mason Rudolph said something. He thought he heard something. I find it hard to believe that Mason Rudolph actually said it. But based on what Mike Tomlin said, he's playing defense attorney for his guy. And by the way, his framing of the fight, hey, he was getting beat up. Stephen A., you brought up, it's the end of the game. Why is Myles Garrett, like, bringing him to the ground like that? Don't run an offensive play if you don't want to get your quarterback brought to the ground. Myles Garrett didn't do anything outside the rules, really. And Mason Rudolph started the fight, escalated the fight, pursued the fight, you know. And so, obviously, that's not the way his head coach is going to see it. His head coach is there to defend him out in front as publicly as possible, his reputation.
Max, I want to help you out here by asking you a question. I'm going to give you the floor to answer it before I move forward. You said Mike Tomlin came on basically as a defense attorney, and I get where you're coming from. But you also reminded our audience something that's very, very obvious for them to see. He is a black man. You've also raved about the coach that Mike Tomlin is and the man that he is. Do you really, really think that if Mason Rudolph had said such a thing, even if it wasn't public knowledge, that Mike Tomlin would come on national television and defend him?
No, I don't. But let me be very clear. I don't think Mason Rudolph said it. I don't think Mike Tomlin thinks he said it. I do think Myles Garrett thought he heard it. So Mike Tomlin wants to come on and defend the reputation. In American life, one of the third rails socially, you want to become a pariah, be a white guy using that term, particularly not as a slang term meaning guy, but as a racial slur. It is the strongest, most despicable word in the English language. And so Mike Tomlin's saying, okay, we're going to get out. We're going to finally put a public face on this and say, no, wait a minute. This is impugning this guy's character. Don't do it.
I think the most important thing that I peel from it is that this is a great, great day. I shouldn't say it's a great day. But in terms of the defense of Mason Rudolph, it could not have happened any better than what just happened for him on First Take a few minutes ago. Because the bottom line is this. Myles Garrett said what he said. And even though Mason Rudolph has emphatically denied it, and there are players that are black that are on the Pittsburgh Steelers that did elocute, they never heard such a thing from Mason Rudolph as well. For Mike Tomlin to want to come on national TV and to speak on this issue, remember, he could have shut up, mind his own business. This is the offseason.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh Steelers ain't playing no football games, neither is anybody else. Okay? And even though the story is has gained some momentum over the last few days, and it's something that's taken place in the mind's eye of a lot of people out there, Mike Tomlin could have simply shut the hell up, not done any interviews, not said anything, and moved on about his merry way. But he saw something Saturday on our airwaves, courtesy of OTL. He didn't like the way that things were being projected, not just about Mason Rudolph, but about the manner in which the Steelers as an organization was portrayed in it. And he felt the need to come on national television live and defend himself. Now, when Max says defense attorney and all of that other stuff, technically speaking, theoretically speaking, he's absolutely right. And in the case of most coaches, you might have that be even more prevalent. But in the case of Mike Tomlin, who's pretty much known as a no-nonsense guy, to come on national television and speak on behalf of the character of his quarterback says a lot to me about what players in that organization think about Mason Rudolph.
First Take, Your Take, brought to you by Shell, V-Power, Nitro Plus, premium gasoline. You guys can get us the question we're asking you from today's episode of First Take. What was your favorite part of NBA All-Star Weekend? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. A lot of highlights. Which highlight did you like the most? We're going to get some of your take as the show goes on. But coming up, last night's All-Star game was one of the best we've ever seen. Did the ending ruin it? We'll hear what Stephen A. has to say about that next. But first, let me tell you about Home Depot. It's time to head to Home Depot to find guaranteed lowest prices on top brand named appliances like Samsung, LG, and GE. It's really easy. All you gotta do is just pick out the latest models from the top brands and let the Home Depot take care of the rest. It's easier than that. Just visit homedepot.com/appliances. You can read product reviews. You can find the right appliances that work for you. The Home Depot, how doers get more done. Did they get it done the right way last night in the All-Star game? We'll hear what the panel had to say next. First Take, Your Take on ESPN Radio.
Today on ESPN Daily, the Miami Heat's Bam Adebayo is headed to the NBA All-Star game, but he's still seen as an unlikely success story. ESPN's Zach Lowe tells us how Bam's intense focus has been there since childhood and how far it could take him. Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
It's First Take, Your Take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Coming off the heels of an amazing All-Star weekend for the NBA, the question we want to know from you, you can join us on the Shell Penzel Performance Line. What was your favorite part of NBA All-Star weekend? You can tweet me, at Jason Fitz. If you tweet me, tell me what, but also tell me why. That's an important part of this. Also, you can call 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. That's how you get in on the conversation. We've heard First Take. We want to hear your take. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. In the meantime, for all the good that came from the course of the weekend and the NBA All-Star game, there was a little bit of a controversy, let's say, about the way the All-Star game itself ended, as AD goes to the line, and he shoots two free throws, tells us he intentionally misses the first, but then he hit the game winner. The question is, should the game even end at the free throw line? The panel was joined by Doris Burke, joining Max and Stephen A. They debated it.
I will tell you that it was a sensational fourth quarter. You're talking about, I think it was like 48 fast break points the first three quarters, not a single fast break point in the final quarter. We saw Kawhi Leonard drilling threes from all over the place. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But the effort that the players showed and how they went after it, it was really something special to see that it mattered. The fact is there was no clock. My only issue all night long was with the ending. I think that it should have ended on a free throw. What happens if Anthony Davis gets fouled, then you go to the side and you take the ball out. It has to be scored on a shot from the field. Because it's an All-Star game, it's an exhibition, and I think you want to see it end on something other than a free throw. But that's about it. The effort that these guys were putting into it, I loved seeing Chris Paul and LeBron James and these guys arguing and fighting with the referees over calls. Kyle Lowry taking off two offensive fouls for crying out loud. The leader in the league taking offensive fouls. He took two yesterday. I mean, it was something special to watch. I was really, really proud of the NBA, and I thought it just sent the right message about how much these guys care and how much these guys compete, and I think it should serve to elevate the level of basketball or the affection for basketball moving forward when you see something like this.
I mean, simply put to me, they fixed the All-Star game. Go ahead, Max.
No, please, Doris, please.
We usually like
the expert to go last because they sit in judgment. That this is a topic that doesn't require that. Please go ahead.
They fixed the All-Star game, in my estimation. I think other leagues need to look at this. One of the things we know about the NBA is they are proactive. If they see something wrong with their league, they take everything in their power and try to fix that. The strategy was compelling to me. Think about the first quarter. Team LeBron wins. What happened? Giannis came out like a house of fire in quarter two. So throughout the course of the game, it elevated in terms of its competitiveness. Third quarter played evenly. Fourth quarter, LeBron James's team is down 9, and they are playing like it's game one of the NBA Finals. Very few fast break points, very few dunks. The individual defense played by Giannis Antetokounmpo on the corner of LeBron James, where he closes space and blocks a shot.
Yep.
And the assassin, Kawhi Leonard, coming out in the first quarter. He drills 7 threes, 8 overall in the game. I mean, you talk about the ability, and then maybe the most important thing I think they pulled off on the entire weekend. And Saturday night was as good as Sunday. The most important thing, how do you manage honoring the great David Stern, Kobe and Gianna, mm-hmm. and still make it feel like it should to the fans? The touch mm-hmm. that the NBA showed was nothing short of remarkable.
No question. It Absolutely. Felt like a playoff.
Go ahead, Max.
That's why, Doris, I don't like to follow Doris Burke. That's tough. The touch is exactly right. That's exactly right. How do you do that and also create that feeling? That's great. I gotta say this. It's a loaded question. Like the answer to this is in the question. We're not sitting here debating anything. The question is, how great was the All-Star game? Because you're not gonna find anyone who says it wasn't great. It was. So the question is why. I have to tip my hat again to Adam Silver. I have to do it because no commissioner's perfect. He's made mistakes, but he consistently, when it matters most, gets it right. And to Chris Paul, who brought him the idea of this style of ending. It's an exhibition. So the problem is, even in a sport like basketball that would lend itself to a great exhibition, there's no tackling, it's not the NFL, it doesn't have to be the Pro Bowl, it should be a great game, but you can't quite get there. It's been lackluster for years and years now. So honoring Kobe Bryant, the whole idea of adding 24 points to the high total of after mm-hmm. the third quarter was, you know, in theory it all looked good. And then it turned out great. The players really responded to it. Now, whether that's extra inspiration to honor Kobe or this can be an ongoing sort of thing remains to be seen. But the fact is that the commissioner was willing to take a chance, to take a big swing. It did not have to work out well. And then he would have been criticized, but he wasn't afraid to try it. And as a result of that kind of open-mindedness and innovation, and again, Chris Paul deserves a lot of credit for bringing the idea, we got an all-star game for the ages. We'll always remember this. Hats off to the NBA.
And you make a great point. I mean, Kobe Bryant ultimately will have the longest say in this thing because the initial thought for the NBA was they were going to add 35 points. If they had added 35 points, we might still be playing that basketball game. Mm-hmm. So the idea that they're going to stick with 24 seconds is tremendous.
You know, the thing about it that, you know, listen, Adam Silver is phenomenal, and we all know that. We know what a great job that he's done in succeeding the great David Stern as commissioner of the NBA. And Chris Paul, president of the Players Association, obviously deserves a lot of credit. But the two guys that really jump out on me are the captains, LeBron James and Giannis Antetokounmpo, because if you don't go out there and play with the effort and the fervor and push it the way that they pushed it, this is an entirely different complexion that we walk away with. Certainly, your other guys were doing it as well, but they followed their lead. Yes. These guys were going at it with each other. They were going at it in terms of effort and intensity, particularly defensive tenacity. And for LeBron James to be down 9 and to come out there in the fourth quarter and to go after it the way that he did, and Giannis to guard him and to go at him the way that he did, it just set the whole tempo for the fourth quarter. And that's what I loved about it.
You know, what was interesting to watch was some of the strategy that came into play. And the basketball tournament has seen this. So they get 2-3 points away. And for the next 6 or 7 possessions, they kept taking threes. And it wasn't until LeBron discarded his defender at the top, went in and dunked it, that I was thinking, go do that. Like, put more pressure on them. Then you're a point away. So by one thing, like, any concerns from the teams, my understanding is from talking to people down there, presidents, GMs, PR, media, everybody loved it, including, most importantly, the players. Would you be scared if you're a coach,
yeah. though? Yeah, but it just shows the appreciation that you have for the game because, you know what, and everybody, this is the thing, everybody bought in because everybody saw, as you're watching it, if you cover the NBA, if you're associated with the NBA in any way like we've been for decades, you saw that everyone was buying into what was uplifting the game in the moment. You just sensed it. You don't need to reflect on it hours or days later. You could see it in real time. Wow. This is great for the game.
It was such a special night.
This is great
for the game. It couldn't have been more well done.
Yes.
First Take Your Take. I'm Jason Fitz on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. Tune in to the ESPN Daily Podcast bringing you a deep dive into a single story from one of ESPN's hundreds of reporters, presented by ADT. Download, subscribe, and review ESPN Daily, available wherever you enjoy your podcast. We're asking you what your favorite part of NBA All-Star Weekend was. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Let's go to Alfonso in Virginia. Alfonso, what was your favorite part of the weekend?
First, I would like to say I enjoyed the whole weekend, but it seems like something was missing. I think if Michael Jordan could have participated in some type of capacity, it would have been done real beautifully. Yeah, but I enjoyed the whole thing. The only thing I would like to see in MJ there.
Well, thanks for the call, and that is a curious omission. Like, Chicago was so well celebrated throughout the course of the weekend, and mind you, having been there, a great host city. But you're right, where was the big MJ moment? Mike in Houston, thanks for calling the show. First Take, your take. What's your take on the best part of All-Star Weekend?
Hey, what's up, Fitzy?
Man, I'm doing great. Tell us what your favorite part of this was.
Listen, as epic as the slam dunk contest was and the tribute to Kobe, I think Stephen A. Smith said it the best. You just had to appreciate the way the guys went out in the fourth quarter and just competed. And you haven't seen that in an All-Star game in, God, very long time. So I got to say the fourth quarter.
I love that call. I mean, you're totally right. I mean, the fourth quarter of that thing when's the last time we saw that level of effort? And that's why we're all talking about it. Well, heck, when's the last time we were talking about an All-Star game on Monday for any sport as being a massive win? So good for them and the NBA on the changes that they made over the weekend, because they all worked. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. That's how you get in. I want to know your favorite part of NBA All-Star Weekend. Coming up, Steelers coach Mike Tomlin joined First Take earlier today. You talked to Stephen A. Now, you've heard part of that conversation, but there was another part of the conversation about former wide receiver Antonio Brown. He was asked directly about Brown and the Steelers moving forward. You do not want to miss the answer. You'll hear it next. First Take, your take on ESPN Radio. But first, when it comes to hiring, you don't have time to waste. You need to get to your shortlist qualified candidates and do it fast. That's why you need Indeed.com. Post a job in only minutes. Set up screener questions based on your job requirements. Then zero in on qualified candidates using intuitive online dashboard. Your time is precious, so let Indeed help you get to your short list of qualified candidates and discover why more than 3 million businesses use Indeed for hiring. It's easy. Post a job at Indeed.com/hire. That's Indeed.com/hire. What are the chances the Steelers are interested in hiring Antonio Brown? Hear the answer from the coach next. First Take, your take on ESPN Radio. I'm Jason Fitz.
Your radio, your computer, your phone. Or just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN Radio.
Now playing ESPN Radio.
Take ESPN everywhere.
Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Go to geico.com today.
First Take, your take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. If you missed the first hour, shame on you. If you missed the first hour of First Take, your take, go check out the whole thing on demand in the First Take, your take podcast, brought to you by Eno, the Capital One assistant that catches things that might look wrong with your credit card, sends an alert to your phone, and most importantly, helps you fix them. What's in your wallet? See CapitalOne.com for details. We're asking you, what was your favorite part of NBA All-Star Weekend? What was the best part of all of it? The dunk contest, the skills contest, the fourth quarter. We've heard some great answers. Chicago, I want your take on what the best part of NBA All-Star Weekend was. Don't forget, Pennzoil Synthetic Motor Oil, always the best part, made from natural gas. So the next time you get an oil change, ask for Pennzoil. The proof is in the Pennzoil. Got a little bit of proof, and we'll get back to the NBA in a second. But when you got Mike Tomlin on First Take with Stephen A., you know that they're going to talk about, I don't know, the Steelers roster. And anytime you're talking about the Steelers roster, you have to ask about Antonio Brown. So Stephen A. took advantage of the moment on First Take today to get updates on Big Ben and also, importantly, ask what the Steelers' interest would be in AB coming back. Check it out.
I'd be remiss in neglecting to ask you about Antonio Brown, a former player of yours. He's been very, very contrite as of late, apologetic to you, apologetic to the Steelers organization, specifically apologetic for Big Ben Roethlisberger, and obviously that coincides with him looking for a job. Would you and the Steelers consider bringing Antonio Brown back in light of the mea culpas or the contrition that he has displayed?
I'll say this. Once a Steeler, always a Steeler. We had great success over the course of 9+ years with Antonio. We're always going to be interested in his growth and development as a man, and we'll be open to assisting him in that. But we have no current business interest at this time.
How is Ben Roethlisberger doing? How is he looking right now?
Man, he looks great, but he's not doing anything. So, you know.
He looks great, but he's not doing anything?
No, he looks awesome, man. But he hadn't been asked to do anything as it pertains to his rehabilitation. The process day to day is going great. But we're not at a significant crossroads, and it's going to be a number of days before we are.
Do you expect him to be ready for opening day?
I have no hesitation. And I base that opinion on my experience and relationship with him and being around him for the number of years that I have. This guy is the ultimate competitor. He's dropped the gauntlet down. He's made a statement that he's coming back, and I look forward to watching him answer that challenge.
First Take, Your Take. I'm Jason Fitz. Have we seen the quarterbacks? I mean, it's alarming when you think about the fact that we're not even talking about Big Ben. He's not throwing at all. He might be throwing a tennis ball, according to Jeremy Fowler, in the next few months. We have no idea what the Steelers are doing at the quarterback position. If Big Ben can't come back, what are they doing? Are they addressing it? Will they give themselves a safety net? Remember, they don't have a first-round pick in the draft because they traded it last year. So I'm not sure what the Steelers' plan is at quarterback. But boy, I mean, you talk about an organization that their next season is going to live or die by their quarterback. Woo! I'm just saying, puckered up. There's plenty more between Stephen A. and Mike Tomlin. I want your take, though. The best part, your favorite part of All-Star Weekend from the weekend that we just saw in the NBA. Rattan in Toronto, what was your favorite part of NBA All-Star Weekend?
Jason, fan from yours, from when you were on Golden Wing with Gojo. Firstly, I wanted to say that.
Thanks,
secondly, I love the event overall because, honestly, a couple years ago, it looked like the dunk contest was extinct and should just be gotten rid of. But with the one in Toronto and then this one and Aaron Gordon keep coming back and coming back, that's been rejuvenated. I was such a fan of last night's game. Overall, it was such a damn good event, and I think Chris Paul is so smart for bringing this to Adam Silver. One thing that I did have a problem with was the aftermath of the dunk contest. The judges said that they wanted to put it in the hands of the league. Now, I'm not a fan of that. If those scores truly reflected how they felt, then so be it. That's fine. But if they were really leaving it up to the league, I'm not sure how to feel about that.
I'm with you on that totally. Like, if you're going to be a judge in the dunk contest, you got to judge the dunk contest. It's simple. And trying to get to that tiebreaker, I mean, I don't know. The way I look at it, it's impossible for me to figure out which one of those dunks should be a 49 or a 50. That's why I'm not a judge in the dunk contest. If you're going to judge the dunk contest, go out there and judge it as best you can. And it is, you know, I feel bad for Gordon. That's twice now. You could argue he's been robbed. Obviously, that's what everybody's got their eyes on. But in the meantime, the weekend as a whole, huge win for the NBA. All the way back to, don't forget the Rising Stars game either. I mean, when we're looking at John, we're looking at Zion, and that sort of a dunk contest all before an All-Star game that actually seemed to matter to the players. Man, I can't say enough about the NBA taking some risk and having it pay off. Because again, we're all talking about an All-Star game like it was epic. That is rare in and of itself. Coming up next, Mike Tomlin sat down with Stephen A. Smith one-on-one during First Take. You'll hear more of that exclusive audio right here. First Take, Your Take.